Recovery Sort Of is a podcast where we discuss recovery topics from the perspective of people living in long-term recovery. This podcast does not intend to represent the views of any particular group, organization, or fellowship. The attitudes expressed are solely the opinion of its contributors. Be advised, there may be strong language or topics of an adult nature.
Hey, welcome back. It's Recovery Sort Of. I'm Jason. I'm a guy that's expecting to stay clean for another week, I hope, if we know what the fuck clean is, as we learned last week.
And I'm Billy. I'm a person in long-term recovery.
And I am Caroline. I am also a person in long-term recovery.
It's funny. I try to be all, 'cause I'm like, yeah, it's Jason. And it's like, yeah, and I'm Billy. And it's like, I'm Caroline. How are you? So we're going to talk about expectations today, which is an interesting topic, and I got some expectations about how it's going to go, but it will probably not meet them. But before we get into that, I need to offer a public apology. We talked in our last episode about what being clean is, and I thought it'd be really neat to have Jenny on because she's in recovery Dharma and she's really into Buddhism, and I was like, well, this will be a different perspective besides me and Billy just arguing about if technically NA says that Suboxone is clean or not and if it should. And and I found that what happened, and I felt bad during the episode, but I felt even worse when I was editing it, was that I would like ask Jenny, like, oh, well, what do you think about this? And then about four words into it, I would be like, oh my God, but no, you don't understand. And I cut her off. And I was so into the debate. It was fun. And it was kind of exciting. So I'm sorry, Jenny. I hope you'd forgive me. That was awful. We also got a really cool comment from Allie May about the Moms in Recovery episode. And she, you know, thought she appreciated the topic. And, you know, she thanked us for at least being able to acknowledge that, you know, it does benefit us to not really address it. Like, it benefits me that I can get a shower and not have to worry about my wife's shower and take on extra stuff. She did say, because remember the mommy wine culture got brought up, yes. And we were like, oh, there's no mommy heroin culture. and her point was that what she has seen is maybe not mommy heroin culture, but there's a lot of women on pills. And that is kind of overlooked because it's harder. Like, you can't take a mom out of a house for 3 to 6 months to get detoxed and well, right? Like, the father goes away, it's like, okay, you know, house still functions, dinner still gets made, kids still get taken care of. But when you try to take mom out of the house for 3 months, like, that doesn't necessarily happen. And so her experience, because we were saying we didn't really know anything about that, her experience was that she has seen a lot of that. And when she said that, it made me think of when I was helping people get into treatment and how much more difficult it was for women who had children. It's like, well, do you have childcare for 28 days, right? Like,
right.
Or if you don't and you have to take your kid to treatment with you, which kind of blew my mind anyway, because I'd never even thought of that. It's like, oh, well, all right, there's these two facilities and they're always booked because there's only limited space for them. So yeah, it's much tougher, I think. And we didn't go into much of the before recovery stance of trying to get here, but I that's also a very, very good point of like, it's just tougher for the moms, I think. It's very, very difficult to get into treatment, to get into recovery, and then once you're here, even to find the ways to do what you did before you were a mom or to make the meetings or any of that. So thank you, Allie May, and I guess we'll get into expectations. And Caroline, this was kind of your baby, and I know you...
Oh, can I jump in for second?
Sure.
Yeah, that's okay. Two things. First, I have some expectations. And by the time this comes out, it'll be past. But August 23rd, I celebrate 21 years clean.
Hell yeah.
Pretty awesome. That's next week. And I expect to have a fuck ton of people at my meeting. So
21?
Yeah.
That means you can drink.
Yeah, there we go.
So that's next Thursday, Billy? Well, this coming Thursday.
I'm actually celebrating Thursday the 2nd because we'll be on vacation next week. So, yeah. Anyway.
So everybody drive to Cecil County.
But also,
meeting.
Yeah. Road Fair trip. Hill. Also, we got some information that some of our recovery sort of fund that we donate to people in looking for access to treatment, different things, is getting used to help people actually get things that they need in recovery. I was told that it's helped some folks. It was a couple. They're trying to get some housing because they had been homeless. They needed some clothes and things to go on some interviews and stuff. And some of the money went to that to help them get some clothes. And they got through the interview okay, and they're going to be in a house. So it's nice to feel like we contributed to some of that. Some money went to a mom in recovery to get into the Mommy and Me house with her kid. It's a mom with some kids. It paid for her admission fee or whatever they have and a first week's rent for her to get into her recovery house.
That's timely.
And then some other recovery funding went to get someone into recovery housing. So the money's being used up. That's great.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Well, pat myself on the back.
Yeah. This was Jason's idea to start this fund with, you know, donations and things that we got. So that's pretty awesome.
It was inspired by Billy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I forgot about that part. So Caroline.
Yes.
Tell us about why expectations.
Yeah. So I guess I feel conflicted about this topic a little bit now. When I suggested it, it was because I've heard so many people in the rooms over the years saying that you should never have expectations. This, I guess, was just really in meetings, in people sharing or, you know, talking about different topics, saying that expectations are never good. You should try to never have expectations. And that has always felt so unrealistic and counterintuitive to me. So, but in preparation for this podcast, I did a little bit of research, and it turns out that those people who are saying that maybe are a little misinformed. Our literature definitely doesn't say that you should never have expectations. So we're going forward with this topic.
It's going to work.
But I feel like my argument is a little lighter now than it was, because I wanted to argue with the text. That's always my funnest thing
we
to
still
do.
Can.
Yeah.
I did 2 minutes of research after you pointed that out and looked in two of our main pieces of literature about expectations. And no, it doesn't say don't have expectations, but it frequently says that we have, you know, we should examine our expectations. Are they realistic? Are they unrealistic? We have too high expectations. We have unrealistic expectations about these certain events that it talks about. And I think I take exception to that. Honestly, what the fuck is unrealistic expectations? Like, how do you decide if they're realistic or unrealistic or too high or too... Like, I don't know what in the hell that even means or how you personally would say, oh, I'm feeling inside like my expectation is at a level 84, but I really want it to be at a level 60. Like, how the fuck do you, like, no, you feel and expect what you feel and expect. And what do you, how do you counteract that? Like, I still take exception with the expectation problem. I have no idea.
And I was thinking of the idea. So I think there's a spiritual aspect to this idea of not having expectations. If you think of like there's the old Christian saying, like, Jesus, if someone hits you in the face, you turn the other cheek kind of thing. You don't say, oh, you're not supposed to hit me in the face, you're an asshole. You turn the other cheek. Like, you can't I guess that's an expectation thing to me. Or like, like what I've researched for, like,
so don't not expect people to hit you in the face, just expect the unexpected.
Expecting,
and then it's
but then if you're turning the other cheek, you still have the expectation they won't do it again.
No, I think you're expecting them to do it
well,
again,
that's,
right?
Or it, how does that, you don't have an expectation that they are or aren't. That's the point.
How
it's not about...
I feel like turn the other cheek, though, is forgiveness is the principle it's trying to explain there, not expectations.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily trying to explain expectations, but there's the thing that... You know, when we have these expectations, it's spiritual to, I guess it's more spiritual to not have expectations that people aren't going to do things. That way, when they do them, you'll have the right principle there to apply in place of that. If I have an expectation, then my reaction is going to be angry, hurt, upset, whatever, because I had an expectation that you weren't going to do something. So now I'm hurt, and that's going to limit me from my ability to react spiritually to a situation.
Of all the places I expected this conversation to go, turn the other cheek was not one of them.
Well, I think there's some of that, and not just in Christianity, because it's in like a lot of Buddhist philosophies too. Like, you just go through life and kind of roll with what happens. You don't walk down, you know, the Buddhist path with all these expectations that this person's going to do that and that person's going to do this. It's more about your reaction to things and how you deal with the troubles and traumas and hardships that come up. And if I walk around with a bunch of expectations, again, whether they're justified or not isn't what's most important. Obviously, yeah, I have realistic expectations that I think are not, you know, they're not unrealistic of me to expect my wife isn't going to cheat on me, that she's not going to spend all the money in our bank account, that she's not going to burn our house down. Like, those are realistic things to expect. But if she does any of those things, my first reaction is probably not going to be like forgiveness, love, compassion, empathy. My first reaction is probably going to be, what the fuck? Why did you do this? You know what I mean? Like, you're a fucking asshole. Like, so those
Jen's
expectations
the
set
bus.
Me up to not be able to react in a spiritual way.
So if you expect your wife not to cheat on you, and that's a realistic expectation, right? I think it is, to start at least. When does it become unrealistic? Like, if she's done it 4 times already? Like,
10 times.
Is it then? 10 times? Is that the rule?
So I don't know that each individual situation has an unrealistic expectation. I think it would be an unrealistic expectation of me to say, well, my wife should never get mad at me, or she should never think about leaving our relationship, or she should never think about another man in a sexual way. Like, that's pretty unrealistic. I think people just do that. That's in our nature. It's realistic of me to expect her not to, like, act out and go do those things. But to expect her not to ever have the thought or idea cross her mind is, I mean, I've probably thought about burning my house down at times. You know? Like, fuck this house and fuck these kids. Like, fuck all this stuff.
I guess from a personal place of, like, really making this to a non-painful area for me, something that came up, right, was when people tell me a movie is great, they're like, dude, you have to go watch this movie. It's incredible. It maybe it changed my life. It just blew my mind. I thought about it for a week. There is, without fail, when I watch that movie, I am let down and disappointed, right? Every fucking time. When I go in and my kids want to watch a movie that I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be so fucking stupid, right? I'm usually, if not always, pleasantly surprised that it's like, well, it really wasn't that bad. It had some cool points to it. And so I know expectations affect my appreciation or experience of whatever happens next. I know they do. But I don't know how to change the expectation, even if you tell me that information, that, hey, your experience would be way more enjoyable if you expected less every time. Well, that's great. I agree. I don't know how to change the expectation. It doesn't change the fact that I'm going to feel highly expectant of some things and, you know, poorly expectant of others. I don't know how to, like, so even if I know that, and even if you're saying, well, it affects our outcome, and I believe that, what do I do with it? Do I just say, oh, this person told me this movie was great, but I know better? Like, that doesn't fix it. I still expect something great.
Well, but do you, from experience?
Yeah.
So that actually came up for me. You were telling me that your vacation recently didn't meet expectations because it rained a lot. It sounded like your mom had an injury. So when you said that to me, I thought about the vacation I went on in July, and I did go into it with not a ton of expectations because experience has told me that when it rains a lot on vacation, that kind of sucks. And I've had those vacations before where I've been disappointed because the weather has not gone in my favor. So, you know, this recent vacation I went on was a road trip with my dog. So we were like massively dependent on the weather. If it was raining, there was literally nothing we could do because anything I can do with her is outdoors. So I did, in that sense, I did go into that vacation with kind of not a ton of expectations. We were just gonna do it and see how it went. And part of that was also I've never gone on a road trip with my dog. So I was able to go into that vacation with a lack of expectations or realistic expectations that it could kind of go any which way. And it was what it was. And at least we were getting away. So I think there is an ability to shift your expectations.
I don't know. And I kind of talk about this, or at least something similar, with people in therapy a lot. They'll come to me and they say, my son is working on getting sober, and you know, I'm just trying to keep my temperament down. I'm trying to stay even about it. I don't want to get too excited, right? Because I will be let down. And I kind of believe, and I don't even know if this is really true, even though I tell people to it in a professional standpoint, but I kind of believe that's bullshit. I think that hope, really, we're taking that hopeful, high expectation place, and we're just kind of stuffing it away. And I don't really think it hurts less when we don't get the outcome we were hoping for. I think it hurts the same amount. And in fact, what I tell them is, I think you actually rob yourself of a couple days or weeks or months of happiness that you could have had with these high expectations of hope, right? And you still end up with the same pain anyway. So what you really did was tamped out the good part leading up to it and still hurt just as much when it didn't go right. So I don't know that we actually get rid of expectations, or we just try to talk ourselves out of them. I don't think that really gets rid of them.
Oh, hope for the best, expect the worst.
Or, I mean, I try
expect
now.
Expect us all to get shot right now.
I try to go into situations and look more, instead of sort of having expectations and predictions. And some of this, I think, just comes from like my own ego of thinking I know what's right or best. Like, so we'll talk frequently, us, the kids and family will sit down and talk about vacations, and we'll laugh and have good memories of bad experiences that we've had on vacations. It's fun with the kids to sit down and we'll laugh about, you know, this terrible horseback riding trip we took, which in the moment sucked. It sucked. The lady was mean. The fucking kids didn't have a good time. The whole thing was terrible. But we just talked about this the other night, and you know, we kind of laughed and we chuckled, and that's a memory. Like, now that's a fond memory that I have, right, of that experience. So what that teaches me is I try to just go into these situations in life without thinking, oh, it's got to be this way, it's got to be that way. I'm just going into it as an experience. We're having a vacation. I don't know, we're going to the beach next week. Might fucking rain the whole time. We might be stuck in the room. So what are we going to do? You know, what? How do we deal with that? Versus going into it with, well, I'm going to the beach, so it better fucking be sunny and all the stuff. And it better not start with these fucking masks again. Like, if I start going down that road and putting all these expectations on that vacation, I'm an addict, so I tend to have unrealistic expectations. Like, I'm at the beach, so it's not supposed to rain all fucking week, or the whole state's supposed to coordinate its mask policies based on whatever I'm doing and whatever I have going on in my life at the moment. So that's where these unrealistic expectations come in. If I just go in open-minded and be like, you know what? I'm going to the beach. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. They could have a hurricane while I'm down there, and we could be stuck in a hotel, or we could turn around and have to leave right away because some family emergency. You know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's where I think it gets tricky, right? And maybe there is an answer in what you were just saying. I guess for me, I was thinking, I didn't actively at any point in time think, oh, we're going to the beach, we're going to be with my mom and spend some time with her, and the grandkids get time with her, and it's going to be sunny beach weather. Like, none of that actively happened. I didn't even think about the vacation at all. Honestly, the only thing I thought about the vacation was, I'm working from like early as fuck Tuesday morning until late as fuck. And then when I get off work, we have to drive 12 hours to Georgia. That was the only thing I thought about leading up to the vacation at all.
I'm going to rebut that, because I feel like when you told me about the vacation, one of the things you told me that was going to be great was that you were going down there with your mom and going to be able to spend some time with her.
I don't even remember telling you about it. But okay, so I guess none of it was active thinking. None of it was conscious level thinking of like, this is what my vacation is supposed to be. It's going to be like this, and it's going to look like this. None of, like, it felt like a, I guess, either a subconscious level thinking or just a feeling of, hey, vacations, what do I know about them? Well, I'm off of work. That's nice. I get to sit back and relax. Beach vacations involve the beach with the sun out and me in the water. Like, that's just kind of what I know about beach vacations, right? None of that was an active thing. And I don't know how to combat that. But what I'm wondering about, what Billy was saying, is maybe I do need to actively think about ways it could suck to counteract,
or,
like the,
or just taking ownership of our expectations. You know what I mean? Like you said, like, you know, oh man, I'm going to be in the car all this time. Well, guess what? I'm going to be in the car all this time. So what can we do to make this better? Like, yeah, I already think it's going to suck, but maybe there are some things I can do to not, for me, so this is me, I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm in those situations, I'm like, all right, we're getting ready to take this 8-hour trip up to Massachusetts. We're going to be in the car for 8 hours. What can I do to just not be a fucking asshole to Jen and the kids when they want to stop 7 times and there's traffic and we go through New York and the fucking tolls? Like, how do I just not? Because we've done that. Like, I've had the experience to know I'm already going to be annoyed and agitated by all of those things. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's an expectation. I guess it's an expectation, but I just own it. Like, that's me. That's what I do. I expect the trip to go flawless and there not to be any traffic and the fucking tolls to not be blocked
up.
That's
why I drive at night.
We tried that.
And I'm highly pissed when I hit traffic at night. I'm fucking angry.
So just owning that, they're like, these are my expectations. You know what I mean? And what can I do about them? Mm. How
so
do
it sounds
I just...
like, it sounds like experience plays a heavy lift in helping us set up realistic expectations. When I've encountered a situation before, I can know what to expect, right?
But what are realistic expectations? Because even if we could define what's unrealistic and what's realistic, right? There's times my realistic expectations don't get met. Like, it was very realistic of me to think going on this vacation with my mom is going to be cool time to spend with my mom and my mom to spend time with the grandkids. Like, there's no way, none of my experience says she's going to fall and hurt herself before we even get there and really just be unable to participate. So that still happens. Like, it doesn't really change the fact. Whether it's realistic or unrealistic, expectations still set me up to be disappointed.
Right. And I think it's also realistic to expect that out of a week vacation, you're going to get at least a couple of days with no rain. And so if it rains the entire week...
I thought it was realistic to expect that when I took my kids to the water park, they would enjoy themselves more.
That's not true.
Yeah. No, they were like, we rode all the slides, we're ready to go. I'm like, fucking ride them again, bro. Like, the lines are like 5 minutes long. This is heaven.
But that, so therein, to me, it lies part of the problem. So when I think about expectations, realistic or unrealistic expectations, for whatever reason, the saying that sticks in my mind that I took from the program was something to the effect of expectations rob us of the gifts the program has to offer. And by that, I don't know where I got that from or where I'm making it. I probably did.
Yeah.
But I heard it somewhere, something similar to that. That's what I take away from what the program's explained to me about expectations. And again, it doesn't matter if they're realistic or unrealistic. If we go in the car and we got to take this 8-hour car ride and my daughter's whatever has a toothache and she cries the whole time, well, obviously it's a realistic expectation to not think your kid's going to cry in the car for 3 straight hours. But if that happens and that's my expectation, I'm probably not going to be happy about that. And I don't going to know if I'm going to do my best version of parenting in that situation. I'm probably going to be like, would you shut the fuck up? I'm trying to drive in traffic. Whereas what I want to do in those situations is have compassion and empathy and love and be like, man, that sucks. I've had a toothache. Here's some Tylenol or, you know, whatever. Like, any expectations I have set me up to not be the best version of myself.
But how do you not have them? I don't disagree. How do you right. not have them?
Right. Well, and there's some that, like, you can't function without having. Like, I have an expectation that if I show up for my job every day, I'm going to get paid for that time. If I don't have that expectation, I'm not doing charity work, guys. So, right. you know, like, I'm probably not going to work. Love my job, but I need to get paid. So
if your company just the example would be, all right, so if they get bankrupt and they go out of business and all of a sudden can't pay you, I mean, fuck the company. What does that do to you and your spirit at the end of that week when you don't get that paycheck?
Yeah.
Like, you're the one that suffers the consequences of that expectation.
Right. But I also suffer the very real consequences of now I don't have a paycheck. So I think even if I didn't have expectations, I would be suffering in that situation.
Yeah, but your life is in the... So spiritually, you're in the same place not having the paycheck, is it better to be angry and hurt and resentful that you didn't get a paycheck and still not have the money? Or is it better to be like, meh, life happens and shit happens and poor them, sorry their business went out, and then you have no money? Like, you're still, you still have no money either way.
But I think you need the expectations to, so I think that's the issue, right? Is not that, you know, yes, I might be a slightly happier person if I don't have the expectation of getting paid. But if I don't have the expectation of getting paid, I'm probably not going to work. If we go back to the example of like you, extreme, right? Having the expectation Jen's not going to burn your house down. If you don't have that expectation, you're going to begin to act in ways that are probably a little crazy to make sure Jen doesn't burn the house
down. Watching her on camera all day long to make sure she doesn't burn the house down.
No, because obviously we can't predict every situation that's ever going to happen in life. I mean, it's reasonable to expect you're going to get in a car accident in your life, but does that mean you never drive a car again? Like,
I think it comes back to trust, right? Like, expectations and trust seem to go pretty closely in hand. I have to have trust or faith that people are going to act in these ways that seem in line with what society says is going to happen. So I have trust that I'm, so is it trust or is it an expectation?
So I don't put trust or faith necessarily in people as much as I put it in, I guess, what the program likes to call God, or like spiritual principles or spiritual living. Like, so my experience in the program is that people are going to let you down. My best friends have let me down. My sponsors let me down. You know, close friends have let me down. Like, it's just happened.
You
it's
put trust in Jen, though. You trust her not to cheat on you. You trust her not to burn the house down. You trust your employer to pay you.
No. So, if, I mean, I don't expect her to do those things. But if it happened, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, my life's going to end. I could have never seen this coming. Like, that's just people. That's just life. And if it happens, there's a couple of things. One, am I in position to be able to deal with that stuff? You know, I do that through other ways. But if I'm overwhelmed because I had an expectation that was never going to happen, that's, to me, is kind of an unrealistic expectation to think that that's not possible or that that could never happen. Like, any of those things could happen, you know.
This is actually really fun watching somebody else debate with you and not being a part of it. I'm enjoying it. I don't feel as bad about Jenny anymore. She got a good show. No,
this episode has been brought to you in part by Voices of Hope, Inc., a nonprofit recovery organization made up of people in recovery, family members, and allies. Together, members strive to protect the dignity of those that use drugs and those in recovery by advocating for treatment, harm reduction and support resources, and mentoring. Please visit us at www.voicesofhopemaryland.org and consider donating to our cause.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
One of the things that's coming up for me, totally changing the topic a little bit, it's easier for me not to have expectations for things that I've never done before. And I'm trying to think of why that is, right? I'm thinking about, like, we took the family to Jamaica earlier this summer, and I had never done that kind of vacation with my family. And, you know, you add in all the pandemic stuff and all the extra pieces we had to do and getting passports and COVID tests before you leave and all this shit, right? And I actually thought through a lot of what could go wrong with that and how it could suck. And it turned out to mostly go really well and worked out well. And so I guess I'm coming back to this idea that you said of, like, maybe I really need to actively think of not all the ways things could go bad. And maybe I don't need to, like, put shit on it. Like, oh my God, we're going to get murdered in the street or something. But maybe I do need to think of, like, take time to say, oh, okay, well, yeah, I am kind of thinking the beach days will be sunny. Maybe some of them will be rainy, right? Maybe my kids won't like this water park as much as I think they like. Maybe I need to really put active time into that to have a more varied and equal expectation level, right? Yeah. So then, like, then I don't have this subconscious, oh, this is just what it's going to be because I'm not thinking about it. But now I have, oh, well, yeah, it could be sunny or it could be rainy, right? And so I have less of a, it's going to have to be one way, and I'm less shocked when it's not, right? I have the ability to say, well, I kind of thought it might have been rainy some days. Like, that's okay.
Well, you know what they call that, trying to think out every possible scenario of a situation?
Crazy?
Self-centeredness. But no, to me, the counter to that thinking for myself is just trying to be open-minded. You know what I mean? Just going, look, I don't know what every possible fucking problem, situation, outcome is in every situation. I just have to be open-minded and trust in the principles that I live my life by and try to live them to the best of my ability and see what happens. And my trust and faith, this is getting back to that, comes to living by these principles and believing that practicing them is going to give me the best outcome for my life. So I don't necessarily believe that, you know, no one's ever going to be able to hurt me, you know, because people are going to be able to hurt me. What I believe in is that I have principles and things that I've learned in recovery to help me get through those situations, you know, so that I don't have to just suffer in agony for an incredibly long amount of time.
And I think maybe we're saying the same thing. Mm. Like, I'm thinking that by me taking the time to say, oh, this doesn't necessarily have to be all, you know, roses, sunshines, and unicorns. Like, there might be some other sides to this. Maybe that is just me creating that space for an open mind, right? Maybe that's me saying, oh, well, you know, I need to, I don't want to say temper my expectations. It's such a fucking thing we say, and I don't think it's real, but maybe it is just like the opening of there's more than one outcome to this. It's not only the one that I'm not technically actively thinking of, but is there. And that's the open mind to like, oh, yeah. I better like go into this not thinking, not expecting. I don't know.
Every time spiritual principles. So like shit. Even the spiritual principle of open-mindedness, I mean, we don't do any of these, or I don't know, maybe someone else does. I don't do any of these perfectly. You know what I mean? Sure, I fucking have situations in my life where I have expectations. Sometimes they're unrealistic. Sometimes they're realistic. I still get hurt. Like, all those things still happen. But it's just a process of, oh, if I can just remain open-minded and open to situations, you know, that's a better position for me to be in than going into every situation with looking at, all right, how's this going to play out? What's this person going to do? How can I be hurt here? What is my, you know, what do I think they're going to do? What do I think, you know?
It's weird. Like, I'm trying to think of the stuff I did enjoy on this last vacation. And it wasn't like I didn't enjoy most of the days. We had one day that was completely washed out and rainy. Kids sat around, played on electronics. Some guy on Twitter had sent me a book that he wanted me to read. So I fucking sat around and read it, and it was actually pretty decent, right? And I'm hoping to get him on here one day. But like, it wasn't that that wasn't enjoyable. It wasn't that some of the other days that we did random stuff. I mean, one day we ended up taking my mom to like their urgent care, whatever it was called, and I was like, hey, all the kids, family, come on. We'll go eat lunch while she does her urgent care thing, right? It's COVID. We're not all going in with her. So we get there and we sit in the parking lot and you have to call and check in and wait in your car until the appointment time. And that was 3 hours. Who the fuck knew, right? So we all sat in the car for 3 hours in a hot parking lot. But it really wasn't bad. Like, we joked, we laughed, we talked a little. My mom was doing like a crossword puzzle on her phone, and me and my son were like, and my wife were joking about it. Like, it's not that any of it was actually that bad, but the parts I enjoyed the most were the parts where I didn't know what to expect, right? And again, I don't think I had active expectations about the trip, but I had like covert expectations, like lying right. underneath, right? Like, they were just there. It's a beach trip. You're with your mom. It's going to be all right. But like, we went to, not everybody, not we. Let me just speak for myself. I went to the nude beach one day in Florida. I fucking took a 3.5-hour drive because I wanted to go to a nude beach. I've never done that before, really, like in that context. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck to expect. Like, I did some research online. I tried to look into what to know. I'm like, apparently it's not even legal in the county, but it's a federal fucking park and nobody enforces it because the sheriff said, you know, I got better things to do than lock up naked people. I don't know what the fuck. But I'm like, I went into it nervous, not knowing what to expect, having no clue what to. And I thoroughly enjoyed that experience, right?
So was it's it like, all old people? Because that would be my expectation.
It is a lot of old people, but not all old people. There's some younger people. And it's nice. You get sun on your buns, right? But it's just, it's one of those things. It's like the less I know about a thing. And so I'm almost feeling like the, you were saying experience helps us with the expectations in the sense of like Billy knows who he is when he drives long distances with his family. And that helps him lower the bar a little bit or know what to try to counteract ahead of time. But I almost feel like the opposite is true too, where the less I know about a situation, the better I am at not putting myself in this, you know, underlying expectation box that I'm not even aware of.
Yeah, I've been on that while all of this has been going on. I've come back to the experience versus no experience and how sometimes experience can help me inform realistic expectations, but having no experience. And I was trying to think of a situation that was totally novel for me in recent history where I could, you know, have an example. I think the only thing that came to mind was, well, two things came to mind. I went to dinner a couple weeks ago. I joined Meetup, which is like this thing where you...
Oh, yeah, they have different meetups.
Yeah.
They have so, a thing that for that for sports.
Anyway. Yeah, so I joined that and I went to a dinner for like a social club in Harford County and obviously had never done a meetup dinner before. But I did have the experience of knowing that walking into situations with a bunch of people I don't know can be awkward. And so I don't think that really, and I did have that expectation
that
and
it would be awkward.
Huh?
You had the expectation it would be awkward?
That it would be awkward. Yeah.
Wasn't?
And that it wasn't as awkward as I thought.
Because you expected it to be awkward.
It wasn't something I'd want to do again.
No?
No, but not with that particular group anyway.
Different group.
Maybe. But I think, you know, the fact that I was kind of going into it with not high expectations definitely made it feel like it wasn't, you know, a terrible waste of time. Because at least I learned that, you know, maybe that subset of people are not necessarily my people. The other thing is I went to a balloon festival recently that was held at a winery.
Like hot air balloons or yeah. People just walking around balloons?
Hot air balloons. So, and I had never been to a hot air balloon festival. But again, I think my experience is that events held at wineries typically have a lot of drinking. So I was going into it very concerned that it was going to be a very alcohol heavy environment. So I had that kind of expectation.
There's a bunch of drunks flying hot air balloons?
No. The professionals only get to fly the hot air balloons.
Get this baby up there.
But it ended up being lovely. But again, my expectations were low, but again, because of prior experience. So I don't know that I have any situations where I don't have some experience that's informing my expectations.
I think what I've always thought about is that, like when I look at the movie thing, right, and I say, oh, my low expectations lead to a decent outcome. My high expectations lead to a bad outcome, right? I've always countered that thought with, it can't be right to try to set up low expectations for the rest of my life. Like that sounds fucking terrible and it just sounds so wrong. And that's kind of what I was stuck on when you were talking. I don't think it's low expectations that I want to strive for, right? I think it's this place of just accepting, like actively thinking before I walk in, I don't really know what's going to come of this. And let me just be open to whatever it does.
Well, I think that is what's happening, though, because if my expectations of any situation or event are so low, like really low, I'm not going to do that. Right? Like if I am really super expecting that it's going to be like, so I was supposed to, with this meetup thing, I was supposed to do Cards Against Humanity. Saturday, last night, and I ended up canceling because I saw the guest list and it ended up being a couple of the people from that dinner. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to enjoy this. I mean, Cards Against Humanity is one of those games where, like, if you're playing with people of the opposite gender and you've never met them or you don't feel like it can get a little. There's some people you would not want to play Cards Against Humanity with, right? Like,
well, they'd be the people I'd want to play with. The more awkward, the better.
like your parents. Like, I won't play Cards Against Humanity with my parents.
Oh, no, I would. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, my sister wanted to play with my mom once. I was like, no, that does not sound pleasant to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
I
would.
So, but yeah, so if they're so low that it forces me to not take part in the, like what happened with Cards Against Humanity, I'm like, this is going to be awful. I'm not doing this. I bailed, ended up going on a 6-hour hike yesterday with my dog. It was a good day. It was a good choice for me. But it's that they're low enough that I'm like, this could go either way. It could go poorly. I'm going to go and find out and see what it is. That becomes the open-mindedness, I think.
For me, I had a sponsor explain to me something early on, and I didn't get it as much then as I sort of get a better understanding of now. It's putting these judgments on things like good or bad or better or worse. Like, that is where we get screwed up in placing judgments on life experiences. So if I can go into every situation not worried about whether it's going to be good or bad or right or wrong, or is this, you know what I mean? Like, that's all the preemptive thinking that goes into the thing. Whereas I just go into it as, this is going to be a new experience that I'm going to have, and we're going to see how it goes. And I thought probably the same thing Jason was thinking was, you know, what could have happened? It could have been the most amazing thing ever going doing this Cards of Humanity thing, and you just missed out on it because you had expectation. Or it could have been totally terrible. Like, either of those could be possibilities, or it could end up somewhere in the middle where it was totally forgettable, you know. We don't know.
I don't know that it would have been Cards Against Humanity is really never forgettable.
I've played a bunch. Most of the time it's been
forgettable.
But
it's so fun.
It is fun.
I love that game.
But I think back to, so we had a situation last summer. We went on vacation. We took a couple of my daughter's friends with us. One of the kids, and again, I feel like this is reasonable to expect of people. We took this kid. It was her roommate, a girl. We paid for everything the whole trip. Shouldn't pay for nothing. We paid for all the activities. We paid for all the food. This is a 19-year-old girl, by the way. This isn't like a 7-year-old. This is a 19-year-old girl who has a job and lives on her own and all this stuff. Took her on vacation, paid for everything, took her out to dinner, did all the activities. She complained about the activities we wanted to do. She didn't like a lot of the things that we had voted on, because we did a thing. We voted on what we would do each night. She didn't like a lot of those things, so she bitched. Never said thank you, never said, oh, you know, it's really nice of you to take us, and was basically almost an asshole the whole time. What happens when I have an expectation that she's going to be a certain way or say a certain thing or do a certain thing is, like, this year I'm like, oh, I'm not taking any of my fucking kids' friends on vacation. Like, that's the result of me having that expectation on her. Whether that's a realistic expectation or not, that hurts me and my spirit and the person I want to be. What I like to say is, well, that's her, and she's an asshole, and whatever. And I don't know. If she wanted to go again this year, I might challenge myself and say, I should take her fucking again. Because the person I want to be is the person who doesn't give a shit about any of that stuff. That these expectations that I put on people to be the way I want them to be and do the things I want them to do, and life's supposed to be the way that I want it to go, is what turns me into a person that I don't want to be. It's not the ideal version of myself, you know, that I want to. I want to be a kind, generous, caring person. I have some money to take this kid on vacation. She ain't going to take a fucking vacation on her own. Do I really need a thank you? Like, is my ego that small that, you know, I need you to be grateful for what I'm doing for you? Or do I just do the right thing because it's the right thing and the spiritual benefits of that are enough?
Is it the right thing, though, for someone who's so very ungrateful? Is it the right thing to?
It's the right thing for me. I don't know if it's the right thing for her or not. It could be fucking it could be forgettable for her. She might not even give a shit. But that's not, again, I can only worry about me and my spirit and the way, you know, I'm living. And I want to be a generous, kind, and compassionate person.
You know, we used to do this thing. My family and my mom would we signed up to be like the deliverers. Apparently, I think it's through the post office or maybe it was through a grocery store or something. But you signed up and they had a toy drive and food drive and all that. And then on the day of Christmas Eve, you went out and delivered that to the families that needed it and signed up for it. And some families, it was an incredible, like really emotional drop off. And they were like, oh my God, that's, you know, thank you so much. And kind of like what you're talking about. And then some were like, they just kind of acted like they didn't give a fuck at all.
Like you were like, the Amazon delivery guy.
My kid don't want this toy.
Yeah, it was interesting, right? And I don't think anybody was rude to us or anything, but there was definitely like you thought you would get something else out of that. Like when you put yourself in a situation, like what would I be like in this situation? I was expecting more of that, I guess. I don't know. It was interesting to walk away from and try to manage my internal sense of what that was like, right? Because it's like, I don't want to be like, well, we didn't get the shot we were looking for of hope out of that or whatever. But at the same time, it was like, it didn't really feel that great, you know? And I got to
recognize that. And is it that expectation that robbed you of that experience?
I don't know. And this weirdly ties into something that I heard the other day that kind of fucked me up, and I'm going to bring it up anyway. So I was listening to this other like Zen and recovery book or something. I don't even know what the hell it was, but he was talking about AA and some of Bill's early experience. And like one of the first things Bill realized in trying to help others stay sober was that his success rate was incredibly low. But what he realized was that he was staying sober in the process of helping them. And I feel like I've heard that sentiment many, many times, yeah, right? That idea. And for the first time in my life, I heard it differently. And I was like, normally I hear that and I'm like, yeah, that's right. We just keep trying to help people. And it's, you know, it doesn't matter if they stay clean or not. It's making me stay clean. And when I heard him say it in the book, I was like, maybe that's what's fucking wrong with us, right? Like if our fucking ways and methods aren't working that well and our success rate is so low, like that's almost like a fuck it. Others must die so that I can live, right? That's very much like an ignoring the fact that what we're doing isn't working and saying, oh, well, it's working for me, but we're not really helping that much. And I feel like in 12-step culture, we put that on the other people. It's like, oh, well, they're not ready. And they're not this or they're not that, right? This is helping me stay clean. But I don't know, when I heard it out loud from this guy saying it in the audiobook, I was very much like, that sounds like Bill is using other people to stay clean and not really helping them at all. Like,
sort of. Yeah, the ego comes in there and it depends on where you place the sentiment. So if you're placing the sentiment on the idea that I am helping other people and in turn I get a spiritual reward, it's similar to you going out and giving the gifts to the family. You'll continue to, or I don't know, you could, someone's going to continue to go out and give those gifts to those families, whether they're fucking grateful or not, you know what I mean? And it still gets done and it's still the right thing to do. In recovery, you know, if my sentiment is on fuck other people as long as I stay clean, you know, if that's what I'm focused on, that's the wrong place to put that sentiment. If it's, I'm going to help people, and if people get it, that's great. And if they don't, I'm just going to keep trying to help. You know, if my goal is helping and trying to serve others, despite the low success rate, that's different. Because I think your motivations are different.
Yeah, I guess it just came across like, okay, and trying to apply it to the Christmas gift thing, like maybe they weren't grateful because that's not what really would help them, right? And maybe, yeah, it's great that I'm walking around trying to help people get clean or get Christmas presents because I'm doing it in the right spirit, but maybe with a more open mind, I could actually evaluate like, oh shit, my success rate with people being, you know, getting clean or being happy about these presents is really fucking low. Maybe I need to like include them in the conversation and see what they really need and try to get them that. I don't know.
So I have a hard time. This is just me. Like I have a hard time saying that kindness or generosity or compassion is ever the wrong thing to do. It might not be exactly what they need, but I don't know that it's the wrong thing to do.
I think it can be the wrong thing sometimes. So when you say that, what comes to mind is like enabling the addict. So oftentimes that's coming from a place of kindness and generosity and trying to help.
I went somewhere much more grotesque, but still.
But oftentimes that really does a disservice to the person that's being helped, right? Like it helps them further their disease.
I don't know that. See, I don't agree with enabling and all that. I don't think that's a thing anymore.
No.
Yeah, but how twisted can we make that? If whether you want to call people who think in certain ways more sick or not mentally well or whatever you'd like to call them, like what about the person who says, oh, Caroline's been single for a long time. She really needs to get laid. I'm going to start sending her dirty pictures and inviting her to like,
don't do that, please. Right, right. No one do that.
I'll give you all her number afterwards. I'm just saying like that person really believes they're coming from a place of doing a kind, generous thing. And
very
that's not good. I said I took it to a twisted place. I'm just saying like there's times where we're going to think we're helping where the other person doesn't want the kind of help we're offering. And is it still a good thing just because we came from a place of kindness and generosity? We can't shove kindness and generosity down the throat of somebody who's
is
looking for something
else.
Is
anyone ever sending dirty pictures and coming from a place of kindness
and
generosity,
that's where I
though?
Struggle. It's like I'm you got to really
they might be telling
themselves
that, but really, that's not the pure motive there.
So I have to believe that spiritual principles are going to be the best practice for me in every situation. That's kind of where that comes from. Like, I have to trust that process.
But I want to go back to the enabling thing. So if I'm giving a using addict money to use every day because they want money and they're begging and pleading and I feel bad and I want to help and that's the only way I know to help.
Well, you would use things called discernment and some other ways to help. That might not be the best way to help. But where I come from with that, like the enabling thing. So what I heard, I watched, you ever watch that show Intervention? Mm-hmm. It's a terrible show. They exploit people and they do interventions and it's a terrible show. But I used to watch it all the time. I liked it, but there was a mom there and her daughter was a using addict on the street and they did all this. They kicked him out of the house. We're not going to support you. We're not going to enable you. So her daughter went out, was prostituting on the streets and everything else. They get a phone call 3 months later while she was out prostituting. Some John beat the ever living shit out of her, left her in a coma. She was in a coma for months. They went visit her in the hospital. She finally got out of the hospital. They brought her home. The mom would go out and get her heroin so that her daughter didn't have to go out on the streets and use. As a person that has a daughter at the time who was like 7, 8 years old, I could see that, like me being in that situation. I had always said I would be the parent with the tough love and all that shit. And when that happened, I think I cried when I watched that show and said, I would never fucking do that to my kid. I don't know that I would go out and buy them heroin. I don't know if I would necessarily do that. But this old lady was going out and buying her daughter heroin because the outcome, you know. So that changed my perspective on enabling and that kind of idea. Because if the mom didn't not buy her daughter heroin, you know what I mean? She wasn't going to stop. It's not like she would go, oh, mom's not going to buy it for me. I guess I'll stop now. Like, that's just not why people stop.
I'm just trying to picture this old lady in the line waiting for the testers right. with me. It seemed a little odd.
This is totally off topic, but I was watching that show New Amsterdam set in a hospital. Yeah. Do you? So I'm done. So there was an addict that came in who became
spoiler
an addict
alert.
Because she was on, this is way, I'm way behind. So she was an addict. She became an addict because she was on chemo and the pain meds that she was being given by the hospital weren't strong enough. So she had started using heroin. So she's in the ER for an overdose and she like runs away from the ER and the doctor was like, I know where to find her, and walked in to the poshest like a abandomentium or like I've never seen a using house that looked like this one. Like it was dark and dreary and there were addicts everywhere, but there were like velvet couches and drapes. Ooh. And I guess that's the one place to cop in New York City, which is how the doctor knew she was going to find her right there. That was the cutting point for me. But that reminded me, like, this, you know, this doctor in a white coat walking into where the drugs are sold in New York City.
Or the doctor cop there with her on Sundays, so he knew.
Maybe. She knew. It was a female, but yeah, maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I think you're right. Spiritual principles are generally a great guide. But, you know, we do talk about the idea of, like, what does this situation call for, right? And using the wrong spiritual principle in a situation, the wrong one, or not the most ideal one, can lead to problems. And so I don't think that just blindly going on kindness is, you know, always the right idea.
Well, yeah, and spiritual principles work together. Like, they complement each other. It's not, most situations in life don't just get one application of one principle.
There's some things
you have to that work together, sort of.
Yeah, I want to be kind to my daughter's friend, and I want to be kind to these people that are getting presents, and yet I also want to be open-minded to say, well, if they're not really grateful for what I'm giving them, maybe it's not what they need, and maybe I need to reevaluate this and not just walk off on my, you know, ride off into the sunset on my horse like, ugh, why do I fix everything that I touch, right? Like, maybe I didn't fucking fix it. Maybe I'm just throwing more fucking shit on the fire.
Maybe those people didn't appear grateful, though, because of shame.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff behind it. I mean,
and you go into that. So if we go into those situations open-minded, we go, maybe, you know, this idea of me do-gooding in this way wasn't the way that I could best use my skills, talents, and abilities. Maybe I realize that, oh, what these people really need is something a little different, and there's a different charity or a different way or a different outreach program that I can get involved with that's going to be more useful, or I fucking get motivated to start something different or, you know, go into a different way of helping people that someone else isn't looking at or thinking of.
You know, one of the things, and this is going back for like 20 minutes, but you said we were on the same page when Caroline talked about not going to the thing. And yeah, part of me was there, but part of me was also like, I don't have that female experience of what it's like to go or think about before going to a Cards Against Humanity game with some maybe awkwarder guys.
Yeah.
How that could be weird or how that could feel. Like, as a guy, I've never
experienced that.
I've had something similar, I think, in the sense of, like, I don't know, not worried about going into some parties where there were some larger gentlemen. Like, I don't know how this is going to turn out for me, but never really, like, on that sexual, like, oh, this could get sexually awkward and I'm going to feel weird about it. Like, I'm like, I hope this gets sexually awkward and I get to feel weird about it, right?
What, like, if it's like sexually awkward with, like, 3 or 4 50 to 60 year old women that are like totally, totally unattractive to you? Would that be at a point where you would be like, eh?
So you do make a point, right? I do remember encountering at some point in my life, quite a while ago at this point, but running into a version of maybe who I was at one point, right? Like a over sexualized, typical, stereotypical douchebag kind of guy, right? And running into that version of a homosexual individual that was giving me that treatment, and I was like, oh fuck, no wonder women are so uncomfortable. Right? And it's not because he was gay. Like, I don't give a fuck. If you think I'm attractive and you're gay, thanks, right? Like, that's great.
It was unwelcome attention.
And it was over the top, and it wasn't like you're not picking up on reading the room, buddy. Like, obviously, I've said thank you, I'm not interested. Like, this is pretty evident. Like, stop. Right? And there wasn't no stop. And so I do understand that that exists, but it's not something I generally, as a white male who's got that privilege, I don't have to think about that very often, right? It's very unusual for me to find myself in that situation, so I don't worry about it.
Right.
So it was, I think this is why I like to have more voices on here sometimes.
And again, I think that not having expectations comes with some other principles in play. I don't walk into a lion's den and be like, oh, I have no expectations. These lions are going to fucking eat me. Like, I have to use some sort of common sense, probably isn't. But, you know, I know lions and what they do, and they eat people. And so I don't just walk into a room full of lions and say, oh, no expectations is great.
Right.
You know, works every time.
Yeah. And that brings up another good question. Like, what's an expectation versus protecting your safety? So I hike a lot with my dog, and I've been on a very few hikes where I've started to think to myself, this feels like it could be unsafe here. Mm-hmm. And so I bought mace for my hiking backpack, but I still don't go into my hikes with the expectation someone's going to attack me, but I've acted in a manner that's going to protect me if it does.
Well, is every thought, does that make it an expectation? So we have my daughter, she's 19, and she goes out on her own all the time. I mean, she goes on hikes, she goes on her kayak, and we, same thing. We got her mace, we got her a knife. Like, look, you can't just walk out in the world and expect, like, there's fucking predators out there,
right?
You know, in the world for a 19-year-old girl running around by herself.
So you can't expect that there won't be, but should you expect that there will be? That you will encounter them.
Don't walk into a Cards Against Humanity game with strangers and expect not to get eaten. Well, that's what I've gotten out of this.
The fear becomes, if I put too much of an expectation on her that, like, hey, this is dangerous, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, hey, that she will
not do it.
Not do it, mm-hmm. Right. And that that's something she loves. She likes birds, so she loves to go out in the woods by herself, be real quiet, you know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. It's so she can check out the different birds and stuff.
Right.
And I don't want to rob her of that experience, you know, because I have these expectations, but at the same time I do want her to be safe and educated and informed about the possibilities of life in the world.
So is that the open-mindedness piece then? Because it doesn't sound like you have the if you had the expectation she was going to be attacked, I don't think you would let her.
No, we wouldn't let her.
So, but you're being...
Well, not that she's 19, so she can tell me.
Right.
But anyway, I get what you're saying.
Fuck off, Dad.
Yeah, it's the open-mindedness. But right. I still struggle. So we're talking about all of these like peripheral experiences and situations. I think where I still struggle with the like not having expectations is in the more core pieces of my life. Like in a relationship, I have an expectation they're not gonna, for me as a woman, they're not gonna kill me. I have an expectation that they're not gonna cheat on me. Hopefully I have that expectation. I have an expectation that they're gonna be a partner in that partnership with my work. I have an expectation they're gonna pay me. If I have close friends, I have expectations around those close friendships that like they're not gonna abandon me in my time of need. That was one that I talked about on the grief episode, being really surprised by that experience. So I think where I struggle more with expectations are those things that feel very core to circumstances that are very core to my life. So not like a vacation or a movie or a Cards Against Humanity game, but like these things that are like a key piece of my day-to-day being.
I've been expecting some shit out of my wife for like 15 years now, and I ain't got it. So
I don't have the answer. Experience at this point to inform those expectations.
Now, I think, I guess as somewhat of a final thought to wrap up a little here, like I think we've come to some good information for me, at least, as this idea that I do need to more actively think and recognize where my expectations are, right? Because that's where I think a lot of my expectation problem is coming in, is the fact that I'm not even realizing they're there until they're not met, right? And so I need to think ahead of time, what are my expectations and what else could possibly happen, just to create that open-minded space of walking into even things I've done before, walking into them kind of fresh with like this, well, we'll see how this goes kind of idea. And I think there's going to be times, even in doing that to the best of my ability, that some things are going to catch me off guard, right? My job might be the place that folds because of the economy at some point, and I might not get a paycheck. Like, and that's going to hurt, and there's no real way to expect or not expect that. It's just one of them surprise life things, right? I might lose someone tragically close to me that I wasn't expecting to lose. Like, I don't think we can plan around all these events to like never be hurt, right? Maybe I just need to expect that these unexpected things sometimes are going to happen and I'm going to be hurt. And what, that's like a whole nother thing of like, well, then what do I do when I am hurt by it, right? It's not like, oh, I don't need to beat myself like, oh, I had too high expectations that my family would stay alive. Like, no, it's like, oh, well, that fucking sucked. I definitely didn't see it coming.
Or maybe there's some more general expectations to look at, like life is going to hurt at times. People are going to hurt us. We don't know when, where, whatever. But if I have the expectation that I can put all these rules in place, I can implement all these things, and no one's ever going to hurt me, like that's where the unrealistic part comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, for sure.
Any other final thoughts?
I don't think so.
No. Well, I would just close and say, I don't know, as you mentioned early, I don't know that it's possible to get rid of all expectations in situations,
yeah,
but
crazy.
We can definitely control or at least acknowledge them so that we can control our reactions to them and how we choose to deal with them and what we choose to do when they aren't met. Maybe instead of looking at them as expectations, maybe a better way to say, like, I have some assumptions in my relationship, you know, because an expectation implies like an if-then type statement, whereas if I just make some assumptions, like, wait, we have kind of this agreement, and if the agreement, you know, falls apart, am I going to fall apart too?
Yeah, this episode did not go as expected. But yeah, I think that's all good stuff. So actively think, right? Actively try to point out your expectations. I think that's the best solution we've come up with, is just
awareness.
Yeah. Aware of what your expectations are will help you to not be so
limited,
disappointment, let down. I don't know. Everybody expect to have a good week, and we'll see you next week. Did you like this episode? Share it with people you think might get something out of it. Check out the rest of our episodes at recoverysortof.com. Also, while you're there, you can find ways to link up with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, YouTube, anything. We're always looking for new ideas. Got an idea you want us to look into? Reach out to us.